My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We completely threw Sean off.
I've never seen Sean like that.
That's incredible.
He was thrown out. Rattled. He was rattled.
Incredible. But yes, you are listening in the loop.
He was shook.
As the youths say, John Lopez, Figgy yeah. Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula, in the loop. We get going right now. Man, I'm excited for this show for numerous reasons, and most of them are in
the mixtape. We got a show, baby.
Most of them are in the mixtape,
okay,
to be completely honest. But we're also getting ready for Texans, Patriots. That'll happen in Foxborough on Sunday. And to start, I should let you know, you can always get involved. We are on YouTube. We're on Twitch. Those things are available to you. And always, always text into the show, 713-572-4610. And oh wow, y'all are doubting the fact that I am no thief, and I've never had a ZV in my life. I mean that for sure, especially because I am just brazen enough to let you know that I stole your food if I did. Okay, I need you to understand that about me. However, why Lopez isn't panicked or worried about Nico going down? Now, you kind of talked about this a little bit yesterday, but it seems like you were emboldened in your stance over the time period since we were last on air.
Yeah,
because I kind of want to get into this.
I mean, it's the head coach and the starting quarterback that are kind of feeling. Now, look, clearly, when you hear from D'Amico and C.J. Stroud or any quarterback or head coach in the NFL, they're going to have their angle on things. But I felt sincerity in what they were saying, and maybe it's just justifying my point here, but I am not panicked. It's not great. I mean, you see people panicking all over, you know, the internet right now. Oh, it's a huge blow to the Texans.
I panicked a little yesterday.
You panicked a little bit. I get it.
I think I panicked with reason, but there was definitely panic.
No, I get it.
I gotta admit.
You know, the leading receiver in the NFL, good gracious. How can you not be at least a little concerned? And I am. But I feel like this team is equipped, man. I feel like if any team in the NFL, for that matter, is equipped to withstand this, it's the Texans.
Yeah, I mean,
it really is.
You went, what, six deep on wide receivers that you felt good about putting on the field at any given time?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that was a very clear decision to be made, and it's probably for this type of thing, right?
Yeah.
But you mentioned the head coach. You mentioned the quarterback. I kind of want to hear the things that got you to that place. Mm-hmm. So let us turn back the clock to yesterday when D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud spoke. And we'll begin with D'Amico, the head coach of the team. He was asked about the benefits of having experienced veterans in the wide receiver and tight end rooms when players start going down with injuries.
Again, it goes back to whoever, like whatever we call, whatever plays we have designed for this particular week, right? It's about us operating efficiently as an offense, right? And it's never about one player. And Nico, of course, he made a lot of big plays for us, and we're going to miss, you know, his explosive plays that he made down the field. But it's just, like I say again, I keep saying this, who's next, right? Who's going to step up? Who's going to make those plays? We'll see.
That's the thing right there, Reggie. Who's next? Because it's about the who's. You know, what are they? That's old line about Jimmys and Joes and all that stuff. No, with this team, it's about the who's. And let me give you an example. And Figgy, you know, has been here through these years and all that. But back in the day,
except for Monday,
except for Monday, he was.
I really should let that go at this
point. Nah, don't. It's just a little just far. Keep it going. okay. So back in the day, if we got news, Andre Johnson is on the IR, panic. You know?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Because no, I'm saying because the other who's weren't there.
No, absolutely.
The other who's are here.
Like at that point, and this name is one of my favorites. When you start just playing name a player. You know how you get around your boys and y'all just name him. You remember this guy? At that point, you're like, Kevin Walter, carry the offense. Yeah,
you can't do it.
Yeah, that's not exactly how you want to do this.
How about you get this news a little more recently? DeAndre Hopkins is on the IR. Panic. even though that was a better team.
Yeah.
You know, you had Arian and you had other, but you would still panic because the other receivers, the other who's, as I've been saying, which is kind of bizarre, but I'm saying it, were not there. He just said, you know, who's going to step up? And I'm listening to him. I'm like, yeah, who? Because there are options.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So when we talk about those options, let's get into more of that. Because, yes, you do have other guys. And I think for me, the thing that I kept pointing to about Nico is just like he seems somewhat he is singular in the way that he has been playing mm-hmm. this season thus far. But that doesn't mean necessarily that you can't piece some of that together. And so when it comes down to that, let's get to CJ. And CJ talking about one of the options. This is cut two. One of those options is Xavier Hutchinson. He is literally the next guy on the depth chart when it comes mm-hmm. to playing X receiver behind Nico Collins. And so what has CJ Stroud seen from Xavier Hutchinson from training camp to now as they head into week six?
Yeah, just growth, you know. Somebody who, you know, puts his head down, works continually, and just really loves the game of football, wants to be coached, and really just putting good stuff on film, you know, in the run game, pass game. Things shot up for us really big in this pass game. So, you know, just really good to get him going before, you know, he's about to, you know, start one or, you know, so on and so forth.
See, and I think Xavier Hutchinson probably would be the number one candidate for taking a big leap in this game.
Okay.
First of all, he literally goes into his spot. You know, I mean, they can move people around, but he probably would fit right into that spot. Secondly, he's shown a little bit in recent games, and as you just heard from C.J. Stroud, you know, Xavier Hutchinson has, you know, he has his quarterback's confidence.
Yeah, and he's one of the guys in this past game against the Bills, Week 5, that had some big plays.
That's right? What I'm saying. He's kind of recently, you know.
Right. He 2 catches, 31 yards, but he had a 19-yard reception as well, mm-hmm. right? He can give you a little bit of something of being that kind of big body guy and getting the ball sometimes quickly in space. And so that is good to have, especially because you feel comfortable then running out a combination of three wide receivers that feels mm-hmm. somewhat similar to what it has been thus far. 832. I didn't realize that I was going to have this level of response. Not that I'm like disputing it too much, but Walter, why'd I read it like that? Kevin Walter back in the day could have carried the team if he would have had CJ Stroud as a quarterback.
Oh, word?
Okay.
It'd been better.
Okay. Oh, sure. CJ for the
Horowitz. He was a good blocker, if y'all haven't heard. He was a good blocker.
Oh, okay. All right. That is I appreciate your take. Thank you for interacting with the show.
Man,
that is what
he could have been the Hall of Famer, man.
But that's also part of the who's. You do have C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, the way that he elevates things. Mm-hmm. It feels like he's already doing a lot of elevating, though, especially now. The elevating that he is doing is making the offensive line a little bit more right than they have been at times.
Yeah.
Right, those types of things. But speaking of C.J. Stroud, let's talk more about the who's mm-hmm. on who will step up from or into the space that Nico Collins evacuates for going on to the IR for the next 4 weeks, at least. And one of those is the one that you like to harp on.
Mm-hmm.
He wears number one, Stephon Diggs. So CJ Stroud was asked about how Stephon Diggs' experience and reliability helps in this moment.
I think he can be great. You know, I definitely think that, you know, he's already a leader, but, you know, you can tell in practice today, he knows, you know, his responsibility now, and he goes out. So that's really all of them. You know, everybody got to step up, and even myself included, you know, to pick up the slack where, you know, Nico isn't playing. So definitely just got to hold each other accountable and just be better at that. So definitely he's going to be at the forefront of that.
The other thing about Stephon that kind of, you know, keeps me from panicking.
Yeah.
This isn't a new role.
No.
You know, this is what he does, and what he's done is being the guy that can carry the load for a receiving core. And they brought him in to be a number one. Nico is the number one, but it's not out of character. He's had 6 straight seasons of over 1,000 yards, 4 straight seasons of 100 catches.
Is that good?
This is what he is equipped to do. So don't panic. You know, they just make those adjustments.
Also, I know that there's parts of the fan base, just the fan base is not a monolith. There's parts of the fan base that did have some level of worry and concern about mm-hmm. the Stephon Diggs, character situation,
yeah.
right? The idea that, oh, man, he's just always moving away from teams and he wants his. And
yeah.
Well, I mean, not to saying that Nico going down is any level of good thing.
Yeah.
However, this is an opportunity for him to get more. So for Diggs to get more, be more involved and like continue to be invested in what's happening. If you believe that he has some level of like there's some level of possibility of it going bad, this goes further in giving him more to do, more responsibility, more opportunity. Okay, so that's some of the who's. Who else can we throw in here? Or actually, not even who's, but just kind of generally what? Because CJ Stroud was asked about what is required of him when it comes to the team losing a key guy like Nico.
Just efficiency, execution. You know, I think those are the two main things that I think about is just being efficient, you know, not forcing downfield, taking what the defense gives me, but also executing when the play is there, you know, making it happen. So just a little bit of everything, but I feel like I do that anyways, but, you know, the just the mindset and the intentionality needs to be ramped up even more now.
Absolutely, and the good thing is, again, with those options, we didn't even mention Tank. Tank is there, and when he was talking about options, I was thinking about Tank, getting open underneath and stretching the play. A big play doesn't have to be 67 yards in the air.
Correct.
You know, a big play can be there goes Steph, there goes Xavier Hutchinson, there goes Dalton Schultz. Oh look, Tank Dell's crossing on the middle and he's 1-on-1.
That was one of the better throws that we saw in the game against the Bills. Was one of those Tank Dell crossers. From right to left side of the field. Yeah. And I think I turned either to you or whoever was sitting next to me. I'm like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man coverage against Tank Dell as he crosses the field.
That's what I'm saying.
That is not fair for a defender, and you have that available to you. In fact, I think that this is the part of the audio that we've played here. This is the part that I'm more excited about, right? And I feel the strongest about it because the concern for me with Nico going down is not that you don't have talent, is that you've put yourself in a place where you've had to lean on fixing first and second down on third down way too often. And so when he talks about being more efficient, getting the ball in space, those types of things, which also leans a little bit on Bobby as well in the way that he game plans this, I think that that helps not just will fill the role of Nico, but I think that helps write the offense in general.
Correct.
With what we've been talking about all the way around. If you are being more efficient on first and second down, now you don't need necessarily a giant chunk play just to keep the chains moving. Mm-hmm. A solid play continues to do it, and everybody can be involved in those ways.
Yeah.
And so I know CJ puts it on himself. He is very mature in that way, and he has that level of responsibility within himself. But yeah, I think that some of that is there, where if that entire offense gets more efficient, I personally am a little less worried about it because I don't think you need some of the individual brilliance that it feels like Nico puts on display every single week.
Don't panic. Just watch how they work with these guys and Dalton Schultz and backs out of the backfield. You know, you said the other day that, one of your more impressive plays that you saw from C.J. Stroud was just a dump it down.
100%. That was to Dari on the left side.
That was the smart play to do. Well, that's going to have to be in play even more so now. And the other thing about, like, Steph versus, you know, Xavier Hutchinson versus Tank Dell, if we're just talking about the receivers, he knows where every player is on the field. This isn't, like, off the cuff. So when he sees the two deep, which he's going to see,
yes,
and that's covered, whether it's Steph or Xavier Hutchinson or whomever, he knows, hey, Tank Dell is probably 1-on-1 with a safety or someone right now, and the ball doesn't have to travel 67 yards to be a 67-yard play. It can go 18 to Tank Dell, and then he does his stuff.
Okay, so that's what we're looking at. Yeah, you are in a place where you are telling everybody your message is calm down.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Don't panic. Don't worry that Nico is not going to be here, particularly in this game. But I think over the entirety of the 4 weeks, you're like, you're in a good spot in this. If you had to point to one guy that you're like, yo, this is the one that I'm most excited to kind of carry some of the load here.
I really feel this could be a moment for Xavier Hutchinson because of what he had a good game in the last game, but the opportunities are there. He had 48 snaps. I don't think he had more than 15 or 18 snaps in any game this year. So he's going to be on the field.
Yeah.
He's going to literally be in that role. And, you know, he's a yards after catch guy. He's not like Nico, where, you know, he's leaving, you know, kind of thing. He's a yards after catch guy. So it could be someone else. It could be Steph that takes on the role of being more of the over-the-top guy. But I think that
feels like a Tank role.
It feels like a Tank role. But see, the thing with Tank is he's... As fast as he is, he's more quick in space.
Sure.
You know, and I think like just running him straight deep or whatever they want to do, like they did with Nico the other day.
Right.
There are DBs that can stay with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the beauty of this team also is you've built it to where you have a lot of different prototypes. Mm-hmm. You have guys that can do a lot of different things.
Exactly.
832 brings this up. All of this works only if CJ has time to get to the open receivers.
Yep.
And that is fair. But one of the things that I think is also something that you consider within that is, like, get the ball out quickly, right? Like, I don't think that you have to wait for long developing routes necessarily all the time. Now, if you want to take a big chunk shot, deep shot like they did, the 67-yard pass, mm-hmm. that almost felt like Pyrrhic at this point because you got the 67-yard touchdown, but that ended up being the final straw that aggravated the hamstring for Nico Collins that left us to this place where we have to have this conversation. But that type of thing, yes, you need to have it be long developing, and that's probably a play action situation where your line definitely has to hold up for a good amount of time, maybe 3 seconds or so. If you're getting the ball out under 2.5 seconds, right, if you're getting the ball out quickly, I think that can be helpful in a big way, not just in getting guys open, not just in relieving some of the pressure on the offensive line, but also we've seen quick game in the NFL be used as an entire substitute or at least a supplement for the run game.
Absolutely.
And especially when the run game has not been where it needs to be as mm-hmm. of yet, and that's mm-hmm. putting it nicely. I think that the quick game might be even more helpful for this team to kind of help themselves out when it comes to getting themselves in better and more advantageous third downs and things. In fact, maybe avoiding third down at times.
Interesting text as well that we got, and I had this conversation with one of my sons. They were asking, okay, is the benefit going to be Bobby Slowick sort of changes his approach and maybe doesn't lean on Nico as much? I don't think so. I don't think he's ever really leaned on Nico. I think it's more like Nico has gotten open and has maybe been the first option a little more, but that option, those options are still going to be there. I don't think this is going to be a case of Bobby Slowick all of a sudden changes everything and becomes more well-rounded, you know? No, it's not like...
Well, he's already trying to be...
Like, that's Randy Moss, and everything revolves around Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Nico certainly is the best receiver yardage-wise, but is he that, you know, on this team? I don't think so. You know, I think Bobby Slowick approaches every game with trying to find the weakest spots, you know?
I almost got off a take that I often use to kind of annoy folks when I call Randy Moss the single greatest wide receiver of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I get it.
It's him or Rice. I don't disagree.
No, I mean, I think it is Rice, but I just like saying that, especially for folks, because some folks lose it. You're soaring with ignorance, youthful ignorance. I just really love Randy Moss. We were talking earlier about the super excited for the mixtape, Fig. I don't think you understand. People are so excited to get this list.
Set your alarms, 120.
120, the black people songs that white people love, because yesterday we did the white people songs that black people love, and somebody was talking about watching rappers react to Pete and Baz. Have you heard of Pete and Baz? Have you seen these dudes?
They're two. I hope you're not looking at me.
Two old British dudes that rap, and they are cold.
Really?
They are tough.
Yeah.
So shout out to Smile on, I hope I said that right, on YouTube, who mentioned Pete and Baz, because that warmed my heart, made me smile. So I'm super excited for this show. But there's a lot more in between that. We got our guy ND Kalu at 11 as well. So it should be a very, very fun show going forward. However, I am going to be the guy that is negative again here as we continue In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, what was the most concerning of the did-not practices from yesterday? Because a lot of them showed up. A lot. We'll tell you who, and we'll break that down next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
He has hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're listening to In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, you got Figgy Fig, you got myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you on a Thursday. We are working our way through the week and towards the Texans. Going up to New England to face off against the Patriots. Super excited for that. On the text line from the 361, shout out to Figgy, Lopez, and Reggie. Been going through a lot, and Sports Radio 610 helped me get up my mind off of a lot of things. keep up the great work. Hey, we appreciate
salute,
that.
Man. Salute for sure. Like, that is one thing that I think I pride myself on, and I believe these guys as well pride themselves on, is just being able to do a good service for the fine folks of Houston.
Those are my
beyond.
Favorite to get.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
We get them occasionally, yeah. And it's absolutely my favorite.
We actually get that a lot whenever we're at the game and mm-hmm. all that stuff. A lot mm-hmm. of people put their arm around me like, man, I've been through a lot, man. Y'all yeah. make everything easy for me, man.
Yeah.
That's what makes this work doing, man. Yeah, we're talking sports with the homies, but more than anything, just being able to be there for the folks, man. And so we appreciate you guys getting involved with the show as well. That interpersonal relationship is always great. But yeah, man, take care of your mentals as well. That's always something that I like to put front and center. Some other things we were just talking about, why Lopez in particular is not panicked about Nico being down. He is being the voice of reason and calm within this. And during the course of that, we talked about a lot of the other who's that would kind of be mm-hmm. involved here. And somebody said, is this an indictment of Mechie because we have not brought him up there? And kind of, yeah.
It's over.
Kind of, yeah.
It's over,
man.
You're right.
He had every chance to take that next step, man.
You know what's going to kind of solidify that, sort of galvanize that? Xavier Hutchinson's going to have a decent game. At minimum, he's going to have a decent game. He's going to get targets. He's going to get snaps. He's shown some things in the preseason in the last game. He's shown the progress that we've been waiting for from Mechie. And I think that's going to sort of like counterbalance, like, okay, so Mechie's had these same opportunities. You know what I mean?
I'll be interested to see if he gets more ops, as the Texans like calling it, because he only got 3 snaps in the course of this game with the Bills after Nico mm-hmm. goes down. And I understand that his role is not the role that Nico inhibits, rather. But I do wonder if they find a way to get him a little bit more involved, because we might be We might be jumping out the gym a little too early. But 713, who took the baby gift? You got to listen to 120 to Figgy's mixtape where he will unfurl the.
Well, there's some buzz in this building,
man. Yeah. There's a lot. I've had 2 or 3 conversations this morning already about that, and I've managed to keep myself away from the answer. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, I thought I was getting in my head a little bit because I walked past Mo from the Morning Bull, and she ain't say nothing to me.
Oh wow.
I'm like, wait a minute.
No. She gave you the cold shoulder?
Yeah, I was just like, hold on, man.
And I appreciate the 832 also mentioning in the course of that conversation, Mixon will be involved mm-hmm. in that particular picture as well while Nico was out. And I think the reason why I did not bring him up personally is because he has been one of those guys that has not practiced. And so within that, what was the most concerning of the DNPs that did not practice from yesterday? Because we got the injury report from yesterday, and it was long, baby. It was a little bit longer than I would like it to be. Derek Barnett did not practice. Kenyon Green did not practice with a knee designation. Jake Hansen did not practice, which, how do you feel about that? Because I don't know exactly what to do. They have not used him.
That's what I was going to say. I don't want to sound like a coach in coach speak, but he's a depth guy, and special teams and that type of stuff. So, yeah, you'd like to have them all on the field, but that's not exactly a devastating hit.
We mentioned both of your tackles did not practice mm-hmm. yesterday. Titus Howard with the hamstring situation. Laremy Tunsil with that ankle injury that you saw he sustained against the Jags. Kamari Lassiter has a shoulder designation. He did not practice at all. Joe Mixon still dealing with that ankle thing, which, again, continues to be weird after he practiced on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then Robert Woods and Jimmy Ward both did not practice. Robert Woods with the foot, Jimmy Ward with the groin situation. And so that's a lot of dudes that we're talking about did not practice one lick in this game or in this practice yesterday. Of course, the first of the week, it does not mean it's not the end all be all. However, with all the names that I read again, mm-hmm. Barnett, Green, Hansen, Howard, Tunsil, Lassiter, Mixon, Ward, Woods, which of those is the most concerning for you, Lopez?
I think the most concerning for me right now is the number.
Okay. I was not thinking. This is why you have to keep your mind open.
It's not
and have a wide perspective,
it's
because like, I was like, he's going to give me a name. He's like, all of them.
Just the sheer number of them. But if you set that aside, there's actually two. And one of them might be a little bit of a surprise because we never talk about him. But Joe Mixon. I mean, Joe Mixon is it. You know, all these things we were talking about in the last segment, you know, don't panic. They got the depth. They have the who's, you know, all that stuff. Gets a lot better if you got a running game. And especially if you have a running game that's any semblance of what it was in Indianapolis in week one. And then the other one, I'm mad at myself over this.
Ooh.
He's like the middle child of receivers. Never mention him. Just take him for granted. He probably has like a tick or something.
Delightful human being.
a nervous tick because everybody just forgets about him and pats him on the head.
Unless Robert Woods. Unless they want to use that one nickname that we don't use no more.
Yeah, that's right. Robert Woods.
Yeah.
We didn't even mention him.
Not in the course of this, no. And it seems like he just comes in kind of spot stuff.
He's just there.
He seems to have taken over the return role, and he's handling that business. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know exactly how this offense wants to use him and utilize him. He comes in. He does a few things here and there. It's not like he's completely absent from what's happening there. But, yeah, it does not feel like he factors in as much.
I mean, he could be in play.
I guess that is possible because I don't know that you necessarily want to do the whole thing where you go, Nico Collins' role and all of the snaps that he gets, dump them all on Xavier Hutchinson. Well, I imagine that you spread them out a little bit, so maybe Robert gets a little bit more burn there.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be how Mechie gets a little bit of some snaps as well. But yeah, you're fair. That's fair. We have not talked a lot about him. I do wonder, though, with that foot designation, does that feel like something that is maybe closer to what we think the Tunsil ankle thing is, where it's like management
kind of veteran guy. Yeah. Yes, I think it, but I think that's what we should hope for.
Because we can't say that absolutely.
Yeah, because he can do some things offensively, and certainly as you mentioned in the return game. And then the last one for me that sort of raises an eyebrow is Kamari Lassiter.
Yep.
DNP did not practice. How bad is that shoulder?
Great question. Yeah. And I don't have an answer for that, but that is the big one, right, for me is Kamari, because of all the places on this roster where you can talk about depth or the lack thereof, what's number one for you?
Yeah. Cornerback.
I mean, and then you see them bring in Kadarius Holman off of the practice squad from the Ravens, signed him to the 53-man roster. And I was like, okay, when I saw Kamari on there, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. But also, I don't like that it makes sense.
Exactly.
I don't like that it makes sense at all. Mm-hmm. I was thinking that maybe you're looking at some level of depth for a slot and that type of thing. And all of a sudden, you might be looking for depth when it comes to outside cornerback. And that was a place that you had a little bit of concern about before. Kamari Lassiter has done a great job of kind of helping to calm any level of doubts or concerns that you have on the outside. But if he is dealing with some injuries, you might have the concept that I like to talk about with a lot of teams, which is the other cornerback, right? Where they go, we can't go to the number one cornerback. Like, he's a problem. But that other guy? Oh, yeah, we can throw it over there.
And be careful.
Right. If Kamari Lassiter is not out there, does that then open up where teams now, and again, I don't know that this is against the New England Patriots, right? Because I don't know how much I am worried and concerned about, like, the entirety of the Patriots offense, particularly throwing the football.
Right.
But, like, a shoulder does not feel like something that is just a little thing.
And it can linger.
It feels like it can. So that was the thing that really got
me. You tend to use your shoulder quite a bit playing football.
Really?
They call them shoulder pads.
Ah.
They call them shoulder pads.
You can't just hit with your helmet anymore?
No, you can't. Okay. Look, man, if he's on the injury report again today, and we're going to be getting you those those practice reports, we might be panicking in the wrong spot. You know, people panicking about Nico. Dude, I figure you were there. First week of training camp, I'm like, that dude is a player. Like, everything I wondered about the 4.6 and all that stuff, it was kind of like last year with Tank. I'm like, he's good. He's really good. Kamari Lassiter is really good. And I think he's just scratching the surface of just how good he can be. That's a big drop.
Second best odds, I believe, when it came to defensive rookie.
Second or third, somewhere in there.
Okay.
No, he's really, really good. And you talk about the template of how they've been winning games hasn't changed. I mentioned this yesterday. You know, even though Nico Collins is out, you're winning because of C.J. Stroud late and the defense.
Yeah.
Part of that defense is what you're doing at the cornerback positions to allow yourself to pressure the quarterback, maybe even with an extra guy or two here and there. Kamari Lassiter, let's see what it looks like today and tomorrow. You know, in terms of practice.
Yeah, we got to watch that space. We will give you the latest once we see what is happening at NRG or, you know, in the general complex there. It does look like the roof is open out there. I don't know
it's
why.
It's not Tropicana, but it's open.
Okay. That feels like that's in bad taste. That feels like that's in bad taste, John. I feel like that's not. Those people have went through
nobody got hurt.
Severity. Well,
we don't think. We don't haven't heard.
All right.
I'm talking about a Tropicana.
Okay.
But it's awful. We'll get to it.
Yeah. I feel like the entirety of that thing, that Milton came through and really wreaked some havoc. So our thoughts and prayers are with the fine folks in Florida right now. And Lieutenant Dan. We'll get you an update on Lieutenant Dan out there.
I love Lieutenant Dan.
Well. I don't know if love is the word I would use personally, but I do find him to be entertaining and interesting. So yeah. we will circle back around to that. All right. You're listening to In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day, which is inspired by a former Houston Texan. Who is the most unpopular athlete in sports, and could it be a man who wears the number 4? We'll discuss all that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Thursday. We were talking earlier about, you know, why you should not panic with Nico Collins being out. And we got a text in from a listener who said that they needed to replace Nico Collins on their fantasy team. Because obviously the Texans are in a place where they can replace the Nico's production, or at least we feel confident that they can with the various people that you have.
Not all of us do here at Sports Radio 610.
All right, why you gotta say that?
Not all of us do.
I feel like some people do. I mean, although Sean Pendergast did sound like this when he first heard it.
Oh!
So... You know. Yeah. That's not a sound of confidence. But I think he has since become more confident. However, I don't feel all that confident about
this.
That's a good one. All right.
That hit him hard.
It did. Sounds like somebody kicked him, kneed him in the groin.
Yeah.
But yeah, this texter from the 713 said they need to replace Nico Collins in their fantasy team. And I don't know if I have much for you there, because they said they picked up Damian Pierce and Xavier Hutchinson and will play one of them in the flex. Which one should you play?
Good luck.
I think you might need to find a different player.
Good luck.
That is not necessarily me saying that either of those is like a bad player, but I just feel like if you're trying to replace production in fantasy, just going, well, I'm going to pick up somebody else on that same team might not be the way to go. I feel like you need to see, and I don't know what you have available to you, right? To be fair, the waiver wire might be a little dry, but I feel like in that instance, you need to go and see if you can find somebody on another team who's going to have a bigger role. Then I don't know if Xavier Hutchinson's going to pick up nearly that much.
I love playing fantasy teams that draft from their hometown squad. Because they're always over their heads.
Yep. Sucker.
They're always over their heads.
See, I ain't calling you no sucker. All I'm just saying is, like, you really limit your possibility of production.
That's also saying sucker.
No, you do. Like, you limit.
You're going to get J.J. Taylor next.
Yeah.
Go ahead, buddy.
This is what I say about, and this is kind of, this feels like it's not the same, but I think it really does match up. Mm-hmm. Like, the hiring practices in the NFL where, you know, they do not consider minority candidates nearly as strongly as they should. And it's like, you're just making your pool smaller, you give yourself less of an opportunity to find the person that'll work for you. And similarly there, don't feel like you can just choose from the Texans. Go ahead and open that thing up, see if you can find somebody who's going to give you more production. But maybe, don't pick this gentleman, Deshaun Watson. We will talk about him again in this instance. I don't think that will give you very good production, especially even in garbage time. But he pops up as a potential answer to this question of the day for us. Who is the most unpopular athlete in sports? Because it feels like Deshaun Watson very much could be the answer. And that was a question that was asked by Awful Announcing.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously just all the ways that he has been covered in the various ways that he has been front and center. And the question has just come up. Just like, is he the most unpopular? And I kind of wanted to examine that. For you, Lopez, is there one that comes to mind for you outside of Watson? Or does Watson feel like he's the answer?
Do you want me to make Houston fans mad first or last? Because I got a list of, I think, in the country, the most popular unpopular athletes in the country.
Yes, that's the way I'm viewing it.
Should I tick off Houston first or last?
Let's start by taking him off and see if we can win him back.
Yeah.
Because the answer, there is a right answer if it's not Deshaun Watson.
Oh.
No, there is.
I think I know where you're going.
The answer is Jose Altuve.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, it is the cheating.
Are we being real? Are we talking or are we talking?
Let's talk.
I mean, it not here, not me,
right.
Not you, not Figgy. But the answer, if it's not Deshaun Watson, might be Jose Altuve.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious, too. I would like to go to a random city somewhere and be like, who is the most hated athlete or even just baseball?
Yeah.
Like, currently.
It's Altuve. I mean, we have to be honest.
Like, I'm wondering, do we still have, like, super hated players in baseball outside of, like, the Astros trash can scandal? Because it feels like... I do wonder if there's enough of investment.
Who's hated in baseball?
That's the thing I'm trying to get to. Somebody texted in Manny Machado, and I was like, is it really that deep?
People
or is that recent? Is that just because
Bryce
of the way
Harper
that it's gone?
Is kind of irritating.
But that doesn't even feel like he's hated.
No, not like Altuve is national.
Yeah.
You know?
That would be like a force hate if I had to pick somebody.
Judge?
I feel like
he's beloved in a lot of circles.
There's enough beloved. And that's what I started thinking of, because I started thinking wider than just baseball. But I understand what you were coming from. Mm-hmm. Like, Altuve came up for me. But I was like, all right, if I'm thinking about football, or let's go with basketball. And I was like, immediately I was like,
Durant.
LeBron, maybe? Oh, Durant's a good one.
Durant.
Like, I was like, LeBron, but he is beloved in enough spaces. Durant is a good one, and it's because of that same thing on the other side, which is he didn't have a home.
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing I do hate for him. Like, I always defended his decision to go and, you know, find the way to get himself a championship, because we had this rings culture where it's like, oh, if you don't have a ring, you're not a great. And then he went and he tried to get himself a ring by going to a place, and everybody's like, no, not like that. And I'm like, guys, we gotta really manage
the
way
we're changing
the
finish line here.
However, the adverse part of that is he doesn't have a home. There's no place, there's no fan base that has that long term attachment to him.
Yeah.
Because he bounced around. And the place that you would imagine should have been that in Oklahoma City, they turn on him very quick.
Yeah. Like if he if they did the jersey Hall of Fame thing, what jersey does he wear in the Hall of Fame?
It's a good question. It's a really good question. So that
he's going to go in as a.
It's going to be a conversation.
He's going to go in as a what?
Probably definitely. I'm about to say a Warrior.
No, I don't think so.
I was like, probably Thunder.
I mean, maybe.
Thunder.
I think he's going to go in as a Warrior. That's probably the most he felt at home.
Well, when he was younger in Oklahoma City, I think it's the most he felt at home.
Yeah, but he never went back. He, like, pretty much turned their back. It ain't like
they turned on him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't like it was his hometown.
Yeah.
But also, one thing is, with all the other places, they have other greats that you could really point to as like, oh, man, this is our great that we can latch on to better. What's the other great that they latch on to more? Maybe Russell?
Harden?
Russell Westbrook?
Because he didn't want, I don't think Russell was trying to force his way out though.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I think
when you bring up Harden, he might be one of those answers for most hate. Actually, can I throw up Ben Simmons?
Oh god, yes.
Although I don't know how many people are like actually thinking about Ben Simmons when he is hardly ever playing. But
well, I think part of it, you become most hated when you're excessively weird. Like Durant. Like Aaron Rodgers is on the list.
I was going to say Aaron Rodgers. Like, I think a lot of fans hate Aaron Rodgers.
Because he's excessively strange.
Green Bay Packer fans hated Aaron Rodgers towards the end.
Russell Wilson. Excessively strange.
Do people hate him?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, good answer coming in. All right, so first of all, when it comes to baseball, Trevor Bauer, if we're going to consider him, even though he's not in the major still, that's a good answer.
Yeah.
713 brought in a great answer that I have forgotten. Like, dudes that embrace the villain role. Draymond Green.
Draymond is hated.
Yeah. Draymond is hated.
He's hated on his own team.
Yeah. Because he handed off fades on the team. That's why. And he talk a lot. That is a great answer, Draymond Green.
Somebody said Adolis. That's mostly here.
Yeah, that's mostly here.
Yeah.
Now, we're thinking team sports. Individual sports comes into a great place, because then you can go to like combat sports where a lot of the cell is being hated in some ways, and Jake Paul takes the cake in some of that, right?
McGregor?
If Floyd was still playing, still fighting, McGregor, he seems semi-retired if we're going to be completely honest.
Yeah.
But like, those are great names, but I think it's also because those guys are selling, they're selling their fight based on you wanting to see them get beat up, right? So they want you to hate them because you are like, well, I got to see if this guy can beat him up, and then you pay the money regardless, right?
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving comes up.
I think a lot of people don't like him, but I think a lot of people like his skill.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Well, there was one I put down when I was thinking about this. With respect, I hate him. With a lot of respect, I hate him. Patrick Mahomes.
I don't know if we've gotten there yet.
But that's a sports hate, though. Is that a sports hate?
That's more of a sports hate.
Yeah, I don't know if we've even fully gotten there. I think we're turning. The worm is absolutely turning.
What about Kelce?
Nah.
You think people with the Taylor Swift stuff, starting to hate
Kelce? Oh, there's definitely some people that hate him.
Yeah.
There's definitely some. I just don't know if it's as widely wide as somebody said. KD goes in as a supersonic. Y'all are unserious. Deeply unserious.
That would be dope.
I like this subcategory of hated players, which is players that you hate unless they're on your team. And maybe the number one seed in that category, Patrick Beverly. There you go. He is absolutely one of those. And hell, you have another one on this Houston Rockets team right this moment.
Dylan Brooks.
That's right. I just don't know if Dylan Brooks rises to the level. And he might not like
that. The thing
that,
is, he not. I mean, I don't think
he rises to the level where people care enough about him.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to. I don't want to disrespect him and say he's not that good. I think he's good in a way, but nah. If he was like a superstar, people would hate his guts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So maybe I was being a little misogynistic in this way, only thinking about the men's sports and the women's sports. I don't think either of these young women really rise quite to the level, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of talk around them, which is Angel Reese and then also Caitlin Clark. I think that they're, because they've become so mm-hmm. polarizing, all the conversation around them has,
mm-hmm.
I think that that might be one
we've seen that
places.
While they was in college.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, but it's only grown with the coverage and all the stuff around it.
Are there any players that are, and this is in the weeds, trust me, I know it's in the weeds for a lot of our listeners, but there are certain players that are just hated, and I love them.
I'm thinking...
Oh, Bill Laimbeer's a great answer.
I didn't like him at all because I knew him a little bit, and he was exactly that off the court. He was an a-hole. He was a total a-hole. Kyle Busch. NASCAR.
Oh, yeah, oh, okay. That's a good answer.
I love Kyle Busch.
No, that's a good answer.
Because he don't give a flip. He doesn't care, man. He's like, hate me. Hate me more. He's like Draymond of NASCAR.
And I do enjoy NASCAR allows them folks to be a little bit more of themselves
like
once
WWE,
they get out that car.
Man, it's, yeah.
They start talking, baby. Jalen Ramsey. I think we might have moved past the space of Jalen Ramsey.
He
kind of
cooled down a little bit.
Yeah.
And Joe Kelly?
Joe Kelly, around East Parts for sure.
I was about to say, that's definitely a local thing.
Yeah.
Around East Parts. Good answer from the 281, Colby Covington in the UFC. And I think that goes back to kind of some of that combat sports. But then also, once you start injecting politics in there as well,
mm-hmm.
that makes it a little tough. So I think that also did not help.
Who was the guy that played for the Rockets that was scared of flying?
Oh, Royce White?
Royce White.
The man who was in, politics. Yeah.
He's hated all over the place.
Djokovic is an interesting answer that comes in from the 713.
Nah. People hate Joker?
Really? There's some people that don't like Joker, but I think if you're in tennis, you have a lot of respect for Joker, so mm-hmm. it doesn't go over. Joakim Noah and Robin Lopez. Now we're going like kind of former players. And it feels like we've kept this to active players.
Yeah.
We did not. We mentioned him, but we didn't stop on him. Aaron Rodgers is one of those dudes for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He actually might be number one.
He might be
He might be number one.
Yeah.
Because of how big football is.
Yeah, outside of Deshaun. I mean, I think Deshaun is mostly the off-the-field stuff, too. Mm-hmm. But Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Nah, they hate. I think they hate him.
They do.
Because also, he gives a smugness all of the two.
You know who hates him? Sean Pendergast. You know how I know that? He said, I hate him.
Yeah, he said that on air. He said that on air maybe a few hours ago. So, no, Bryce DeChambeau comes up. Okay, I can see that. But yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers is one of those, especially, he's also very visible. And if there's one thing that people don't like, it's feeling like they're being talked down to.
Mm-hmm.
And buddy, does he do that the time.
He is one smug son of a gun.
You know one person I hate, and he's more of a coach, but Coach K. I can't stand
a lot of
Coach
people.
K,
really?
A lot of people hate
Coach
K.
I don't know. He just.
No,
he
you're
just
not
rubs
alone.
Me the wrong way, especially when he do these interviews and all that stuff, sideline interviews.
He's smug.
Like that last.
He's got a little smug.
I think the last time we heard from him, we did his last interview, I want to say post game or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reporter was like, thank you so much for what you've done to the game. He said, you're welcome.
Yeah, I remember that.
Get your ass out of here. Stay retired.
He didn't do the faux humble.
Yeah, he said, you're welcome.
It was nothing, really.
It was like light work, you know, just some slight. Some folks mentioned Nick Kyrgios, the tennis player, because
the
outbursts.
The tennis snobs really hate him, man.
Yeah.
They feel like he don't play the game right.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything is supposed to be so proper and all that.
Right.
And he's just so arrogant and, you know, cusses and all that stuff. Tennis people don't care for him.
No, absolutely. Nick Sirianni comes up. Okay. But
That's an Eagles fan.
Nah, he's an Eagles fan. But it does feel like the answer is Deshaun Watson, which is crazy because I think it's on the field and off the field equally.
Mm-hmm.
He's been so bad on the field and then off the field, just the details.
He was just so arrogant too, like even after the fact.
Yeah.
It's just like, dog, like it's all out there now and you still acting like you ain't did nothing.
And if there's one thing that the American people hate is somebody that refuses to prostrate before them.
Mm-hmm.
And he did
it.
Yeah,
he doesn't do
it's
it.
Not, and it's not like he got out here and balled, right? Like, no, you could point to Kobe when he's going through his legal issues and it was like, all right, but at least you balled on the other side of it.
We don't see him trying to change and all that stuff.
In fact, he's digging in more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Deshaun Watson, for being named the In the Loop most hated player in the nation. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's jump on the phone with my favorite Nigerian. He is a former Houston Texan, and he does a great job talking about this team. His name is Ndi Kalu. We'll do that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.